We do have a quorum. Call the meeting to order. There are no minutes at the last meeting. First on the agenda is we're going to consider Senate File 3379, Representative Eakin. Representative Eakin, before you begin, we want to again extend our sympathies to you and your family.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I served with your dad my first term. He was always a great man.
Thank you.
We have in our possession Senate File 3379. Representative Paulus, would you like to make a motion?
I sure would, Chair. What is it,
3379.
I move House File 3379 with the recommendation to pass and move to the General Register.
We've heard the amendment or the motion. Representative Eakin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This bill is for disaster relief for those counties that were declared federal disaster areas in this last spring's flood. And we're getting a list of all the counties that are involved here. There were 18 that were originally declared federal disaster areas, and there is a map in your packet which shows those counties. It's kind of in an L shape along the Red River Valley and the Minnesota River Valley. But since then, there have been other counties that have been added. That includes Cottonwood, McLeod, Pennington, Ramsey, Red Lake, and Stevens counties. And the reason they came in later is simply because they were still calculating the amount of damage, and whether you get declared a federal disaster area depends on what the amount of damage is per capita. And these six additional counties have now reached that threshold. So they, too, are being included. It picks up the local share of the funding for the disaster relief and disaster cleanup. And I think it's important to note, though, that when talking about the local share, this is coming from the feds. The FEMA, they pay 75%, and then they say 25% is to be local. But when they say local, they also mean state, because from a federal perspective, the states are local. So it really goes to the states, and then the states determine whether to pick up all of it or whether to shift some of the burden onto the local units. But traditionally, in the recent past now, the state has been picking up all 25% of that share. It did so last year with the flooding in the Red River Valley. It did so in the flooding that occurred in southeast Minnesota. And so we're just continuing on with what has been done in the past. And so I would ask for your support in passing this $3.7 million. And just one last thing on the $3.7 million that's listed here. That is an estimation. We don't know for sure what the total costs are going to be, but the total costs are already being incurred, so we need money immediately to start the process of the cleanup. They're thinking with the additional six counties, it may be closer to $4 million. But with that, again, I would ask for your support.
Questions at all? Any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And where was this bill accounted for in the budget resolution? Or?
Representative Holberg, yes, it is.
Okay.
Other discussion? If not, then Representative Falk renews his motion that Senate File 3379 be recommended to pass and place on the General Register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
And carried. Representative Lanning, we have a little bit of a difficulty in that we've got the wrong version here of your bill. I don't think we got the first engrossment because it doesn't contain the second part of yours, which is the one-time appropriation. What was online from what they picked up was the bill as introduced, and it doesn't have the language that this is a one-time appropriation. If you can just bear with us for getting that what's in Unofficial endorsement is before us, will be before us.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, that language is incorporated in.
Line 11.
The bottom of the paragraph here.
1.11.
There's an amendment in finance. This is the, what I have in front of me is the bill that was sent to finance. We're looking for the first endorsement. You probably have the first endorsement in front of you. Is that correct?
Well, it doesn't, Mr. Chairman, it doesn't say first engrossment, but it says on line 1.11, this is a one-time appropriation. This appropriation does not lapse, carried over.
I understand that, but what was passed out of finance was an amendment that also said this does not count it twice.
Okay.
With yours and Representative Eakins. And so we're just getting, that's what was forwarded to us, and we need to get the right version before. Sometimes the system doesn't always put the right version or post it. And so if you can just bear with us, Mr. Marks is getting that for us.
Mr. Chairman, I do have that copy of that amendment.
I have the amendment, but I need engrossment.
Okay.
In order to pass it, I think. So if you just bear with us. While we're doing that, let us go to Representative Markhorst, and then we'll come back.
Okay.
If that's okay. I appreciate that. We'll save time. Is Representative Markhorst here?
He wasn't.
He's in the hall. Representative Markhorst, I remove that House File 2227 be recommended to pass based on the general registry. Representative Markhorst.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members. This bill is going to be, I firmly believe, a very important tool in solving our budget deficit into the future. What this bill does, it sets up a council that is going to look at structural, local, and state government redesign. It will provide incentives for local and state government to work together, but also to make sure they provide the best value for the dollar, for the residents. It also sets up a portion of the bill where there would be a policy council, where the council would commission studies to look at what really works, so that we're making sure that we're getting the best value for the dollars. So members, I know we need to be brief. There's a number of things to this bill, but the bottom line is, it is a council that can concentrate its entire heart and soul. It can focus like a laser beam on solving the things that we're going to need to do to provide more accountability, value, and efficiency for taxpayers, and ways in which we can redesign systems so that we aren't always in either adding taxes or cutting services. We can do it a third way, and that is getting more value for the dollar. So members, the value in there, at one time it was $350,000, and I think that might be there. It is now a $50,000 appropriation is what's in the bill. So members, I would ask for your support and open to questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And yeah, I've seen this bill, and I think this is the third time I've heard you go through it. Once, I think it was one of the committees I sat on. And I made the one suggestion to you earlier about, I think it was public, member of the public on the committee. But the other one is, you know, we've been putting on, despite what's being said, we are actually doing some things with sunset clauses on some of the bills and commissions and study groups that are coming through. I didn't see one in here. Is there one? And if there isn't one, would you? And I think I had more science and technology authority that we sunsetted in 2018. So we are required to go back and take a look at it. The angel investment credit we put a sunset on. You probably remember it as well as I do, but I think it's 5 or 6 years out. So we get to take another look and make sure it's working the way we thought it was going to work. Something to think about when it hits, by the time it gets to the floor, because I'm sure it's going to have some kind of an author's amendment or easily done.
Mr. Chair and Representative Mahoney, that certainly, if that would be the wish of this group, I do think it's important, and Section 11, I believe, in the bill talks a lot about what this would like to guarantee, you know, so many dollars of savings per dollar spent, so many dollars of suggestions and benefits and value per dollar spent. There's not a sunset in here. If that would be the wishes of the group and to get it through the House floor, I'd certainly be agreeable to that.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I would not, I'm going to leave it up to you, and you can bring it at the House floor. You're much more intimately involved with this and the thought process that goes into this. It's just a suggestion, and I think in some levels, I don't want to get a where we sunset everything like they do in Texas, but I think there are some things that we should probably take a look at the 5 and 6 and 10 years out to make sure they're doing what we thought they were going to be doing.
Thank you.
Other discussion? Representative West.
Mr. Chair, a couple things. Representative Marquardt, is there any private business or that make up the council? I don't recall the makeup of the council and missed your initial part of your presentation, but as I remember in rules, I don't think there was.
Mr. Chair, Representative Westrum, there is one member appointed by the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce.
And out of how many again, Mr. Chair, Representative Marquardt?
Mr. Chair, members, there are a total of 15 members. There are four legislators, one from the minority, one from the majority in each house, and then we have the Commissioner of Management and Budget, and Commissioner of Administration, Chief Information Officer, Administrative Law Judge, a State Auditor, two from the colleges, one from nonprofits, one from the foundations, one from the chamber, and one from AFSCME. That is the membership.
I guess just my concern or thought, there's a lot more government types on there than private business or private people making a living. My only concern would be that we're a little light on ingenuity because sometimes it's the private sector that has to be ingenious to figure out how to work around what government does to them, and certainly they have to make a bottom line. They don't have just the tax base to go to and raise revenues. Not to be critical, but just something to think about, and I don't know if I'm sure you've thought about it a lot, but does that not strike you as maybe a little heavy with the government types and pretty light on the private sector or the innovators that we might think of in our society?
Mr. Chair, Representative Westrum, this council is going to incentivize a lot of the redesign, not do the redesign itself. But, for example, there will be what will come forward are waivers to rules or waivers to enforcement of procedural laws, and this group will look at those things. But, in fact, what we want in the strength of this group is to get other groups to start looking at how can you redesign. It will also commission groups to go out and take a look at where we get the best value for the dollars. It will look at other things that are occurring around the nation or the world in the terms of redesign and providing better services. So I don't think the membership is a problem here. I mean, you have the commissioner of MMB, you have the chief information officer. These are all folks that are working, I would hope, in redesign. You have a person off the Council on Foundations that's redesigned. But plus, also it says all members must have experience or interest in the work of system redesign or public sector innovation. So hopefully those folks that become members on this board already have an insight and an interest and a passion to do these type of things. So I guess I'm not overly concerned about the membership. I think it's well represented, and I certainly understand what you're saying, but just the makeup of this board and the duties, I don't know if that'd be a big concern that there wouldn't be enough private.
Last issue or point to Representative Mahoney's thought. You know, I guess I would be warm to a 6 or 8 year sunset just to cause the board or council to come back to the legislature and be sure they give us updates and convince us that they're doing what we want them to do, or there's product coming out versus just a group meeting and everything going on the shelf. So I'd be warm to that idea if you are between now and the floor.
Mr. Chair and Representative Westrom, if you were to make a motion for a 2018 sunset, I would accept that.
Sure.
I'm trying to make this work.
If the counselor can draft us one quick, I'd do it right here, otherwise on the floor.
We do it on the floor.
Yeah, okay. Representative, Mr. Chair, Representative Westrom, you'll have my word. I will have an author's amendment, or I can even allow you to make that amendment for 2018. Members, I am so convinced that we need this tool to address the budget deficit for next year. That a group that can solely, without politics and not having to worry about the budget, that they can just work on these things and be a great tool for the legislature and the governor to begin to look at and work on these things and get them through. I think it's the only way we're going to get through this budget deficit and still maintain the values and the high level of services we have here in Minnesota. So I'm willing to make this work, and a sunset would be fine.
Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and to Chair Marquardt. A couple things here. First of all, I've got like 3 points here. First of all, does this coordinate with what's in the Senate Conference Committee report for the Cultural Heritage Finance Division merged with Environment Finance and some energy issues? The Senate has a whole redesign of government there. In fact, we got a PowerPoint that says that it's really something. I think it's Senator Olson, where she takes Minnesota counties, go from 87 to 50, and they're the 50 watershed districts, mm-hmm. are the boundaries for the counties. And then for legislative districts, she goes by watershed districts. Is that with this at all?
Let's try to concentrate on the little bit of why it's here, but I understand the question. We can do that.
Mr. Chair and Representative Davids, this actually would augment that and complement that greatly. It wouldn't stand in the way of it. In fact, might help it, actually, something like this.
Or
actually,
if that doesn't happen, this would still happen.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, this, it's not continuing.
You weren't helping yourself here. But Mr. Chairman, thank you for the rescue there. I'm a little bit leery, and I'm sure this is good, and I know what you're trying to do, and I agree with what you're trying to do here. But I'm a little bit leery of establishing new councils, because I've been on Chair Murphy's Cultural Heritage Finance Division. We have this thing called the Lasard Outdoor Heritage Council. And they have taken on a life of their own, and they become, I call it, an out-of-control monster. I wouldn't want that to happen in this case. So my question is, what is the charge? I mean, the tactics that they use are just unbelievable to me. And so I don't want to create another one of those. This commission, that this bill before us, what is their purview? What is their charge? What would their authority be? Do they report back to the legislature? Or if you could just give us a little bit there, because I used to be fine with councils. They do good things. They report to us when we can take it or leave it. But this bunch is really something. I don't want to create another one of them.
Representative Mark.
Mr. Chair and Representative Davids, that's a great question. Of course, this had to start in Representative Pawlowski's committee. He does not like councils and boards and so forth, as you may or may not know. First of all, I firmly believe that no other group can do this. Some said, well, why can't a committee do this, for example, just another committee? They cannot, because there's too much politics, there's too much production of bills coming through and having it. You just can't focus on it like we're going to need someone to focus on. There's 5 main things that this does. Number one, it would come up with a strategic plan by January 15th, looking at savings and redesign. Number two, it looks at how it can eliminate burdensome bureaucracy and streamline government. It can waive rules, can waive the enforcement of procedural laws. And that's a group that would look at this and then vote on that when a county, mayor, city may come to them and say, we'd like this. I can give you examples. I don't know how much time we have, but for example, I can give you an example. Number three is that they can provide grants to cities and that they're working together, commission studies. And the fifth one is they provide a report at the end of each year to the legislature and the governor saying exactly what did they get in actual savings in local units of governments, but also the state government, and then proposals for plans that would provide some real structural redesign around the nation.
Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hamilton.
Fast.
Representative Holberg.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, and I'm not sure, we don't have an updated fiscal note, and in state government finance we heard testimony from Assistant Commissioner Rhodes that they were concerned the new iteration there might not be the money to cover the what admin had to do relative to this. So I'll be interested to see a complete fiscal note before this comes to the floor. And this is the second time I've heard this bill. And I listened to you talk about what you're trying to accomplish, and I look at the composition of the council. Conceivably, you could have only one of 15 people on the board that actually created private sector jobs and ran a business. Everybody else is associated with government, nonprofit, or foundation. So I'm really concerned about the lack of balance there, and I'm not sure you're going to get the results you're looking for.
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Markwart, what happens if the legislature doesn't like the rules that they waived and the procedures or the mandate that we put in place? What is the legislature's ability to come back after and do something about that?
Representative Markwart.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hillstrom, first of all, out of those 15 members, only the five that have direct accountability will make a decision on the waiver of rules and procedural laws. It would be, and it's in there, but it would only be the Commissioner of Management and Budget, Commissioner of Administration, State Information Officer, Administrative Law Judge, and the State Auditor. The rest of them would not be involved on that portion. So that, because there wouldn't be the accountability there from, and so that really there are none. Other, I mean, they have to report to the legislature, but the administrative rules are good from 2 to 4 years, and the waiver from the enforcement of any procedural law is good until 10 days after the next session. And the reason for that is the idea that if the state, many times what happened when you had the old Board of Innovation and Cooperation, they would do these waivers, and then the state legislature would take a look at this, say, yeah, that works, and they would make them law the next session. What they're saying, and someone was saying this might have been a Representative Krinke amendment that was put on, but is that if then the next session they didn't agree with that, it would expire 10 days afterwards. So the legislature, there's a sunset on it, and the legislature really, if they don't approve of the procedural law enforcement waiver, 10 days after the next session, it's done.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So they're only waiving rules. They're not waiving state law.
No, Madam, Mr. Chair and Representative Hillstrom, they are waiving state rules and then the enforcement of procedural laws. And procedural laws are laws that tell you how to do something. It's not the end result. And it's the enforcement of the law, not the actual law itself. For example, it's against the law to roll through a stop sign in a city, and yet a police officer may not pull you over each and every time. So it's waiver of the procedural or the enforcement of the procedural law, not the law itself.
Representative Hoppe. Did you have Representative Demmer?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Representative Hillstrom asked pretty much my question. I did have one additional. If you could, and maybe I missed this, you went from 350,000 some appropriation to 50. Can you tell us what that difference is very quickly? And also, and I think maybe Representative Mahoney was getting to this, you know, what's that budget going to sustain over the years? Are we going to see more? And lastly, you said they're going to actually distribute grants. And where would that money come from that they're going to distribute to whoever's asking for the money as they hand these out?
Mr. Chair and Representative Demmer. It is $50,000 contingent on a dollar-per-dollar match by the private, which could be $100,000, but there could be more there. But going from $350,000 down to $50,000 certainly would limit the amount of grants that could be given. But when they do give the grant, they also, let's say they give a grant to a city and the city ends up saving whatever, they can get all that money back. That can be in the agreement. Whatever you save, we give back. Is now that's going to be ongoing. So some of that, those dollars will come back. But at $50,000, it's going to limit, and I think there'd be a push for more of the private to contribute at this point. But I really think once this council would get going, the legislature would see the benefits of it, especially during the tough times coming ahead, that hopefully they would continue.
Other discussion? Any other discussion on the bill? If not, then the chair will renew his motion at House File 2227 be recommended to pass and placed in the general register. So, tough times to talk. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
No.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members,
we do now have the correct version, Representative of Land, the House File 3796. I believe it's the same verbiage as the Representative Eakin's bill, with one thing in Section 2, and that is the amendment that was put on in the Finance Committee. Our staff tells it that it does not have to be on both bills, because if one passes and the other one passes, if they both pass, this takes care of both of them. So it says that's only appropriate. Mr. Marks, would you confirm that?
Mr. Chair, I believe that's correct, that as long as the language here is in one bill, it would cover this bill or two bills or three bills or however many might have the same appropriation in.
Okay. Representative Lanning, if you want to say anything other than what was said by Representative Eakin.
Mr. Chairman, I would echo what Representative Eakin had to say, except I'd like to add a couple of points. First of all, the state of Minnesota has always been there when there's been a federally declared disaster and helping cover the costs of the damages that have been incurred. And that's one great thing about Minnesota. And so we appreciate your consideration of having the state again step up and do this. I want you to know that, as an example, in our community, the city of Moorhead, they have spent in recent years $10 million of their own money in flood mitigation projects trying to head off damages. And so while this bill asks for assistance in covering what FEMA doesn't cover and the disaster, the damages that were incurred in the disaster, I think you need to know that the local communities are still having to put a lot of their own money as well into preventing floods, preventing disaster damages from occurring. So with that, Mr. Chairman, would ask for your support.
Okay, the chair will move that House File 3796. We recommend the pass and place on the general register. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
And carried. Then can Dan, would you go up and get Representative Carlson, see if he can come down for this? Bill, if you would, please. He's conducting a meeting, but I think there's an opportunity. Members, I appreciate very much you having the flexibility to be with us today.
You were going to bring dinner, right?
You know.
We're not fussy.
You better not say that. You might get ludicrous.
We're fussy.
Old ludicrous.
Is there any other kind?
Well, now we can count
different.
Good. This is that time of year when you don't know anything.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with a good ludicrous.
You read it, Mr. Chairman. Oh, yeah. One beer at a time because you don't know.
You need it once a year and then you're inoculated.
Inoculated, yeah. Okay, good. Well, I buy my ticket
from my own church. I remember that night. I was so angry. I heard about it.
It is.
No one invited me.
Of course, it's always a Christmas Eve. It was always this. That was the best ludicrous ever. It always makes the best. This is even better than that.
It's sort of like.
Very well, maybe. Corn
liquor.
Yeah.
Sorry, people. Squishing.
What year was that?
It's the wonderful.
It was Cascadian last year.
You know, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm marketing over
I was younger than that.
And suddenly I played
the song like you were a productive
one. Yeah, there you go.
No, Chelsea, I bet he's a
It's not someone quite. He doesn't quite say it. Yeah. He just knows that something is coming. Don't do that.
Doesn't Maury roll or out it like the back?
We're not there.
I work things. You don't work.
Members, Representative Carlson is tied up in the other finance bill. I wonder if we do have MMB and so forth here. I would move that House File 3832 be recommended pass and placed in the General Registry. I'm a co-author of this, along with Representative Huntley. Mr. Marks, do you want to just tell us what's in the bill?
Mr. Chair, members, this is the language we received from Minnesota Management and Budget that is necessary to make the state eligible to receive the extended FMAP or the additional 6 months of FMAP money. That's the $408 million we've been talking about. That's actually netted out of these appropriations. It would be $422 million minus this $14 million. What the bill does is to extend certain appropriations for six more months because we have to do that to be eligible to receive the extended FMAP money. This language is identical to what was passed as an article in the Health and Human Services bill, and I don't know that I can add a lot more. There are people from Minnesota Management and Budget here if there are questions on it.
Let's see if there's any questions. Anybody have a question, Representative Abel?
Yeah, just to share what we're doing. So if we extend these appropriations, the money doesn't come, then what happens then?
Well, maybe it would be...
Or Mr. Marks looks like he's going to answer it.
Okay. Manager Chris Dahlberg, welcome.
Thanks. Mr. Chair, I'm Kristen Dibdahl, State Budget Director. These appropriations are contingent on receiving the enhanced FMAP. So if we don't receive it, the money won't be spent.
And Mr. Chair?
Yeah, Representative Abrams.
This has gotten me kind of a hot issue. I remember a press conference just a week ago when the administration changed their position about that being left open or not being left open, and I was a little surprised about that. But what does this do in effect? So the governor said that we're going to not count on that to balance the budget. So does this affect that statement, or is this supersede a statement, or what's the effect on that part?
Mr. Chair and Representative Abler, no. This relates to maintenance of effort, which I'm sure you're familiar with, and there are certain things that we cannot do and not be in violation of CMS rules. So if this passes, we can be assured that next January, if the enhanced FMAP passes Congress, that we can receive it. So this doesn't have anything to do with including it in a proposal or targets or anything like that, but this prepares us so that we're ready to receive it.
And so, Mr. Chair, the targets are independent of that, and we create our own targets as we choose. And so if we do this, then if this bill passes, we're not encumbered to do anything that we wouldn't have done had it not come? Is that right?
I don't quite understand your question.
Well, the maintenance effort in the federal laws is a sort of pesky thing. We can't take some people off a program that we think we wouldn't just soon continue on because they're on a program. And this is not going to make us keep some people that would have a lesser need than some people we have to carry some people on programs and create maintenance of effort that we wouldn't otherwise have done had we not said we would do it.
I don't think that's the case, but others...
Does that make sense?
Mr. Chair, Representative Abler, I'm not sure I understand your question.
We can't reduce anybody from medical assistance health care programs. We can't reduce one eligibility element in some programs. If a person, we couldn't go to one more ADL, for instance, because that was eligible. We couldn't tell people that they have a $50,000 car that was taken out of our bill in some high level because that's an eligibility thing. We can't do some fraud work because that's eligibility. Does this affect any of that future eligibility work that we might want to do when we get broke?
Yes, good bill.
Mr. Chair, Representative Abel, no.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other discussion, Representative Dean?
Mr. Chair, and Ms. Dibdahl, is there any other thing that we need to do statutorily in order to take the 408 between now and the time we get it?
If we get it, right? Yeah. Representative Ms. Dibdahl?
Mr. Chair, Representative Dean, not to my knowledge.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Dibdahl, if we were to not pass this, we would not be eligible, evidently. Is there any other costs outside of this that is anticipated outside of the 14 to get the 408 between now and January or enactment?
Mr. Chair, Representative Dean, no.
Thank you.
Other discussion on the bill? Without the chair will then renew his motion that House File 3832 be recommended pass and placed in the General Registry. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? No. Carried. Members, we're going to stand in recess. I don't anticipate that we would be back, but you never know. And, of course, if we don't come back this evening, it's automatically adjourned. We'll be in recess. Representative Holbrook?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do you have any idea whether we'll be meeting tomorrow?
I think there's a good chance we will be at some particular time. I think we have Representative Hans of Rob Bill that he's passing right now. There may be there were some other bills that came to us from
finance
that maybe needed to be on also. I just don't know, but keep in mind. I appreciate that very much, your understanding of the that's the term from Representative Valenti when he was in. With that, we're in recess.